Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Make Better Wedding Films, the home of new ideas for radical films about people in love. My name is Ben. I will be your host. And welcome back to 2023, season 4 of the podcast. I'm excited. It's going to be a good year. We've got some awesome guests lined up. We've got our familiar faces of Grace and Andrew from Bottle Brush Films joining us back on the show on a somewhat regular basis, which I'm really excited about. And we're going to kick off season 4 with an episode from those two lovely Australian humans. But before we get into the show, I've got a couple of announcements from our sponsors. The first of which is MusicBed, the best home on the internet for music for your films, hands down. We all know it. Make sure you guys check out the monthly MusicBed playlists I'm now putting together. Last month's was Blue Hour Champagne Tower. It's a collection of jazz, lounge, soul, classical, all that kind of like old world Hollywood sexy vibes for your films. And make sure you check out all the subsequent monthly playlists that I'll be putting together for the show. Link for that will be down below. And if you guys want to sign up to MusicBed and you haven't already, make sure you use the promo code MBWF to get your first month free and let them know that we sent you, which helps out the show. Our second sponsor is Film Convert. Film Convert are here to help you on your constant journey to find the perfect colors for your films. They've got two awesome pieces of software, Cinematch, to match all your camera's footage together and get the perfect color correction, and then Film Convert Nitrate to add the look of analog film to your digital footage and get the perfect creative grade for your film. Make sure you use the promo code MBWF10 to get 10% off when you use that promo code. Again, link for that will be down below. Alrighty, that's it for the announcements. On to the episode. Another year, another season of the Make Better Wedding Films podcast. And this year, I've got the Aussie duo we all know and love, Bottle Brush Films, joining me back on the airwaves on a regular basis. And we're kicking off the year with a bit of reflection, some predictions, and some hopes for what wedding films might look like in 2023 and beyond. My name's Ben, and this is Make Better Wedding Films.
I feel like, especially coming out of COVID, it's had one of two sort of responses from couples. They either go, oh, screw it, a massive wedding isn't important to us, we just want to get married, buy a house, have kids. Or option B is people go, you know what, the party is really important to us, having everyone there is really important to us, and we're going to spare no expense to celebrate because we've been unable to celebrate for so long. And it's sort of sharpened into focus what's really important for a lot of people. And that's, you know, like I say, gone to one extreme or the other. You know, we don't really care about a big wedding, or we really, really, really want a big wedding, which is pretty cool, because then you just get couples that have, you know, much more of a handle on what they're doing and why.
I think too, it's that, like what you said before about like celebrating too. I feel like celebrating and fun is like been pushed forward now. And like people are kind of, I think, realizing the importance of that, especially with like all those couples that did the whole micro wedding, then sort of like bigger reception later. Like, and I've just recently, just before Christmas, had some good friends of mine have their kind of like post-COVID reception stuff. And it's the sort of thing where it's like, we don't have to do this. Like, we're married now. This is purely a party. And having the real clarity around like that, no, that actually we do want this. Like this is a separate thing outside of the actual kind of like getting married. It's kind of celebrating that. So I think everyone's just kind of gone through the forced hard process of like having to change what's normal and like either do micro weddings or postpone weddings or change plans here, there, and fucking everywhere. That everyone's gone, fuck it, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. And there's like 30 people weddings or like 250 people, 3-day festival weddings where people just like put on a festival for their friends and there's a wedding somewhere in the fucking middle of that. Like there's all these different variations outside of the kind of what was I think people have sort of gone, I'm going to take whatever parts of the traditions I want and then leave the rest and not feel beholden to just sticking to the plan, sticking to the norm. And I think that's then trickling down to filmmakers and giving them like just lots of different kinds of canvases to work on, you know, like an intimate 30 person wedding versus a 200 person, 3 day festival. You're going to be able to tell that story very, very differently.
Yeah. We've had both of those in 2022. We had one that was like a little elopement to Tassie. They had like 20 of their closest mates.
Yeah, and it not even 20.
I think it was like 15 and it was phenomenal. But then we had the polar opposite where it was like a 4 day weekend festival party whole situation, and it gives you a lot to do, a lot of variety to edit with and create with, which is nice. So yeah, it's nice that it's starting to kick into gear a bit. People are getting a bit more creative.
Yeah, and I feel like in terms of the evolution of weddings, I think the people that can be, I think the good old days of just sort of turning up, being sort of very routine in how you approach a wedding and terms of shooting and post-production and even pre-production are sort of starting to fall by the wayside. I think everything's so different now and so varied that the people that are going to really have success in their business and with their clients moving forward in 2023 and beyond are the ones that are going to be able to adapt to that and tweak their process as they go, because there's, you know, these different celebrations demand different sort of ways of working.
Yeah. We've all had to adjust, and you've written down here in the notes around like the video becoming more and more important, and we went through that whole phase of like live streaming and stuff, because I know, Andrew, you kind of went all in on live streaming. Like, do you feel like that's still a need, or is it people transitioning out of that real immediacy of live streaming and sort of going more into video, or is live streaming still, you know,
in the context of weddings?
Yeah.
In weddings, live streaming, at least here in Australia for me, has like the demand has fallen off a cliff. It's died completely. Like in November of 2021, we did, I think, 10 live streams in a week for weddings alone. And then November last year, I think we had 2 for the month. So I think as soon as
demand for what was happening.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the live streams were just when people were like, screw it, we want to get married now, let's do it. That was a sort of their way of not necessarily having to feel bad or guilty about it at all. And it was a little bit of a gateway video as well. Like people who weren't getting video were like, oh, we'll get live stream, we'll get the event covered. And which is really interesting to me, because if you were smart about it, you'd be able to offer that as a service, just literally one or two cameras recording a ceremony and speeches. Doesn't have to be anything other than a switched edit.
I agree with what you're saying before about it being like a gateway drug for video.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the legacy of the super intense COVID live stream push is people like there was people like sort of knee jerk, like we need it to be, you know, captured, you know, for, you know, we don't want to lose it. So they did the live streaming, but just through that, I feel like it, the importance of video really became really, really clear. And so it's sort of the live streaming has died, but it's almost like the importance of video is sort of like built as a momentum sort of beyond that, I feel.
Yeah. I think it brought people back to like the basics of the value of video as well, because it's always been about creating really creative highlights films. But for the live stream, it was about capturing the ceremony in full and making sure people had a copy of that so that you could see your vows in full and hear them like down the track. So I kind of like that it brought it back to that side of things. I think films are getting really like full on, which is great creatively, but it's nice to remember as well, like couples really value just having that full ceremony or just full speeches to reflect on, because it's, I mean, it's really nice stuff.
Yeah.
I'd want my ceremony in full.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. The importance of going back to basics and like making you aware of what's important. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Righto. So moving on from weddings in general, I feel like for wedding filmmakers now, like what do we feel like, especially you know, you guys now quite established wedding educators in the space and
Wedgicators.
you've got Lonely Hearts Film Camp coming up. And so like my next question around what do we feel like the kind of struggles of the average wedding filmmaker these days, I feel like you guys can probably speak to around like how you're putting together camp, what are the kind of speakers that you guys have sort of looked to this year around, like, what are filmmakers like looking to learn, needing to learn, needing help with? Where did you guys feel yourself looking as you were putting together the lineup for camp?
Yeah, oh, there's a lot going on there. We basically were trying to address like people, what people wanted creatively and then what they were struggling with, I guess, as well. For us, like the big ones, like the huge gap in the industry is people really don't know a lot about color grading and they want a lot of help there. And just as well, like touching on all the, you know, everyone's backlog and everyone's really stressed out and burnt out and things like that after COVID because we've all been overbooked. Just looking at ways to help people manage that side of things. So we've got Rick Liston for that. We've got a speaker called Rick.
So a lot of people wouldn't have heard of Rick Liston. He's not even a filmmaker, he's a photographer, but we'll forgive him for that. He is an expert in wedding workflows. He has these incredible systems where he shoots 100 weddings a year and has all these systems set up where couples get sneak peeks straight away. He literally does nothing.
He just relaxes.
He's an absolute genius and he's the most relaxed, happy guy that I know that shoots 100 weddings a year. And that's all down to him working smarter, not harder. With what they call SOPs, standard operating procedures, being able to outsource really effectively. I think that's a massive weakness to wedding videographers especially, is an ability to let go and...
Guilty.
Yeah. But
no one touch my footage.
But the offshoot of that is that we're also burnt out and overworked and struggling to make what we do sustainable and profitable. That, you know, it's something the industry doesn't even realize it needs so much help with. So I'm personally really excited about Rick's presentation because it's going to talk about making things sustainable, getting time in your day back. There's so much good stuff there that people are going to just lose their mind over.
I'm pumped for him as well. I think it's, I wish we had a Rick when we started, another story.
It's one of those things, it's too, like, you don't know what you don't know too.
Yeah,
like that's exactly. Kind of what great with someone like him is where it's like, because I feel like, well, like once I like signed up for Studio Ninja and got like some of my shit automated. There's too a point of like, I'm sure there's more I could be doing, but I don't know what I don't know to put in place, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's such a good time to be starting out as a wedding filmmaker because the education is like off the charts. Like, we have the camp now, but there's all these other resources as well where you don't have to go through the years of bullshit to figure out what to do. And then the other one I'm really pumped on is we've got a colorist, a professional colorist who's not in the wedding industry.
He's not a wedding filmmaker.
Tim Wadding.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's done grades for some really phenomenal artists and music videos like Tones and I and things like that. So he's going to do a live demo on color grading and just helping everyone like learn that from the ground up. So I'm going to learn a lot from that.
Oh, we did a live with him on the Lonely Hearts Film Camp Instagram, and the stuff that we learnt just from the live talking to him, it's actually on our Instagram page. You can scroll down and see it. But his knowledge is ridiculous, and it was a real unicorn. It literally took me, I think, 2 years to find the right person to teach color grading to filmmakers, wedding filmmakers, because a lot of these guys are very tech forward. They know the tech inside and out, but they speak that language. They can't speak to sort of layman's terms, which is like really important. There's no point having the knowledge unless you know how to communicate it properly. And he's a really natural teacher and meets people at their level. But also the other challenge that we faced in trying to find the right person to teach color grading at camp was a lot of these guys are used to only dealing with your reds and your REs and all the 16-bit, 14-bit footage, which is like a dream to grade. But as we all know, in wedding world, very few of us shoot with cameras like that. It's mostly 10-bit 4K is sort of the industry standard at the moment. And even 10-bit is relatively new. Like on the A7S II, for me, it was 8-bit footage. And the jump to 10-bit with the A7S III was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So being able to find someone that had experience grading 10-bit footage and could teach people how to get the most out of their 10-bit footage was really tricky. But, we found Tim. He's our needle in a haystack. He's our unicorn colorist. And he's, incredible.
You want to marry Tim. You sound like, it's not like Tim's wife.
No, but it's just, I think I'm just really excited to bring an outside perspective from the wedding industry, because there are lots of people that do colour well in our industry, but there's still so far to go in the knowledge.
Yeah, it's absolutely one of those skills that's like, it's really hard to break, and like, I feel like the learning curve is quite steep. There's like an initial learning curve, which is fine, but then as soon as you want to go beyond that, it's such a steep learning curve in terms of like the education that's out there.
Yeah.
And it's often you're not suited to the kind of like high speed workflows that we have and the kind of footage we have. Mm. And, you know, so yeah, that'll be an interesting one for sure. Yeah, whenever I've done Instagram like questions, like what do you guys want help in, grading always comes up 100%.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because and I think that's why people love like LUTs and stuff. People want an easy fix. They want to just like chuck a LUT on and walk away. But it's going beyond that. Like how you go beyond that.
Tim's going to be showing us how to like build LUTs live ourselves and all sorts of things. So our campers will have the opportunity to have some of their footage perhaps graded live as well. So it's going to be really immersive. It's going to be unreal. I'm so curious to see what he says. Like we were talking to him about shooting S-Log 3 and he said he wouldn't even recommend necessarily shooting log at receptions. And I was like, what? What do you mean?
Oh, yeah,
I don't understand.
The noise and stuff, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, not even that. Hmm. He said,
Anyway,
There's so much to learn. No, it's great. Yeah. That's the sort of shit. Again, you don't know what you don't know, and exactly. Something like that. So, yeah, sounds wicked. Love it.
Yeah.
There was one other facet of like a wedding film education that I wanted to chat with you guys about, because I feel like it's on the front of everyone's minds right now. The idea of like branding and finding your style and stuff, and obviously you guys have had some experience with that. Recently with mentoring and everything, like, you know, you guys are the brand guys, I feel like in the wedding film world. So can you speak a little bit around that from your experience of like the people you've been mentoring or just like what you've seen in terms of wedding filmmakers, like want and need to set themselves apart from other people through branding and style?
It's so huge at the moment. It's like the one major thing that's come up in the last, like throughout 2022, kind of exploded a bit.
Mm.
I think we did a couple of big talks on branding and finding your own voice within your brand, like creating a personal brand as opposed to just something that was completely detached from who you are. So I think a lot of filmmakers are starting to do it. We were doing mentoring sessions for like specifically helping people discover their brand and their identity. And it was so interesting doing that. We had four filmmakers who we did like a full revamp with and like a big discovery session. And it's just really interesting to see that people don't think that they have a lot of individuality, but then once you go through a bit of a process, ask the right questions and actually deep dive what makes them unique, the things they love, the things they don't love, how they film, why they got into weddings, like every single time there is something completely unique there. So I think like some people I know like tend to just want to like do what everyone else is doing. And I'm like, no, like you have something worth selling, to be honest, like worth promoting. Like you are really unique. And I love that even someone who thinks they're not, it's like, I'll prove it to you. Like let's do it. Just do the work. Like
it's so funny because you get to know all these amazing, unique things about these people that you're working with and you sort of fall in love with all these different aspects of their personality and things that they do outside of weddings. And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And they're like, what, really?
They're like, oh, that's so boring. I'm like, no, you can take this little thing, like something as small as I love tacos and margaritas can become a part of your brand if you want it to.
Yeah.
Like Lucas Weddings, we did a little bit of a sesh with him and, you know, it became this really tropical brand because that's where a lot of his passions lie. Like he loves traveling and all this sort of stuff.
It was like the Walter Mitty of filmmaking.
Yeah,
really
we kind
cool.
of came up with this whole Walter Mitty concept for him because that's his favourite movie. So there's all this, I love that people are starting to deep dive their brand and rehashing it out. I like that people are finally starting to actually hire brand designers, like get proper graphics made. but it's more about taking a look at before you approach a brand designer, doing the work yourself and figuring out what your style is so that you can communicate that to a designer and get something personalized.
I think the other thing that's I've sort of become aware of is how important confidence is in a brand as well.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, hey, this is what I think your brand should be, but it's another thing entirely to have the confidence to own your individuality and really sort of embrace being that new brand. Without execution, it doesn't matter how good the concept is.
And do you feel like, because you guys obviously have the experience of going through a massive brand change and what that all has all sort of meant for you guys, for your business and stuff. So like both for your own experience and then watching other people that you've mentored and stuff, how have you seen the difference in like some clarity and then like wrapping that up in a nice package can do for someone like for their actual work and their business and how they present themselves?
Yeah, it's been interesting. The brands we've worked on the moment have not come to completion yet. One's really close. They're going to be launching within the next few weeks. So that will be fun to share. but they've taken the discovery process we did with them and like really ran with it and nailed it. And it's like the most unique brand. And I think it'll make a huge difference for them because they were really quirky and out there. And their brand was the opposite of that, even though they wanted to attract those couples. So I'm like, this is huge issue here. You've got two different brands in one. So we've built them something that's really like quirky in them. And I think it'll make a difference for them.
I think the key thing for them was just giving them permission to be themselves and embrace
it. Yeah, that's kind of been the running theme with everyone we've done it with. It's most people are really hesitant to actually go all in on who they are. It's again what Andrew was talking about, that confidence. So it's more about just backing yourself in and just leave the fear at the door and don't be afraid to do something a little different because that's what's going to set you apart. I mean, the industry is flooded now. It's fucking flooded.
And all these things are the reason why our family, our friends, our partners love us. And I think it's important to remember that. That's the part you're showing off, the things that you love. And I get that that's terrifying to show off because you don't want to be rejected for it. But that's how you find your ideal clients.
Yeah, I think it's also just giving, I think it's just about giving yourself once you've got a brand that's like cohesive and completely you, I feel like you're able to sell everything better. Like you're able to like back yourself more. And when you're interacting with couples or when you're posting stuff to socials, you're not like hesitantly going about it. Like you're 100% sure on like what you stand for, what genre you're doing. Everything becomes easier, like because again, it's that confidence. It's about having a bit of control over what you're doing and what your product is.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, no, 100%. It's and you can just see the want and the need of people to start putting forward some self expression. I mean, we talked about it at the start with from the couple side of things. Like people are like self expression is coming through in the weddings. There's no surprise that it's coming through in the wedding filmmakers too. People wanting to step away from like the kind of, I don't know, for want of a better word, mediocrity of just doing what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Trying something new. And it is scary trying something new, but I think more and more people are stepping over that line and just going for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of wedding filmmakers and wedding filmmakers we love right now, I thought it'd be cool just to kind of just like take a little look at the industry right now, like who's some people that we love that are doing epic shit? Not in a like a copy these people and you'll do great, but like it's kind of cool to like just look at you know, people doing awesome shit in the industry and just as a way to get inspired as a way to get inspired, basically, for want of a better way of saying it. I mean, I'm gonna start because that was top of my list. House in the Clouds. I cannot fucking get these guys out of my goddamn head.
Same.
We interviewed Sid what was that now? Like a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's wild.
It's just something about their work has just got this really nice mix of like really like lots of people like to throw the word like documentary style around, but I feel like they have a really proper, authentic documentary style woven through their whole thing, mixed with this really beautiful, super creative blockbuster visual kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, they, you know, the kind of styled shoots they do, the big banger drone shots they do, just they're like, you know, beautiful cinematography mixed with just like really raw, intimate, on the fly interviews and little moments they capture. Like fucking dream combo. So yeah, they're still ones that,
it's outrageously good. I'm obsessed with them. They're probably, I mean, we've been doing this for so long, man. Like after a while, there's only, you can't really watch many more wedding videos. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't go out there and watch a lot, but I will, if they post something, I always watch theirs from start to finish because it's actually, it holds my attention. They're just, whatever they're doing, it is working.
Yeah. And usually you get like incredible production value and visuals, and it's always at the expense of being able to tell a good story or show something really emotive. And like theirs is just not a collection of just pretty visuals. It's always intentional. It's just so, it's just at another level. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like it was just like a perfect example is like one of their weddings, the bride was an identical twin with, you know, she had an identical twin sister, and they made a separate whole video just like based around this whole one little candid soundbite they got with the sister while the bride was getting her makeup done.
Yep.
And they made this kind of like portrait piece about these sisters together and their identity as twins. I was like, fucking hell. Like, you know, that level of like knowing what's important. It's like, yes, we want a pretty image, but often that comes at the expense of genuine story. And I feel like they always keep that in balance. They're never sacrificing story at the in the search of visuals.
Yeah. If people haven't seen House in the Clouds, they need to go check them out.
Yeah.
What are you doing? one person that you guys put me on to, and if I'm honest, took me a while to really see what you were saying, is Jackson Grant Weddings. And it's only recently that I'm like, okay, this is someone who's actually doing something different. His stuff's amazing. And he's, I would say, primarily a photographer.
Yeah.
Certainly he's hybrid photo and video, Australian based, right? Aussie based.
Melbourne.
But he's just ramped up his style to the max, like
massively.
The quirky, risky. Also, I feel like recently, like the unaesthetic, which is cropping up through like TikTok and Gen Z and stuff, like going against the pretty visuals. You know, it's like it's still. It's cool. It's like interesting, but it's not pretty. It's not aesthetic. It's a bit messy.
It's intentionally so.
Yeah. And I feel like that's going to be an interesting trend to watch and see how many people jump on that in the wedding film world.
I think about takes more skill to do that really well than it does to do the pretty aesthetic images.
Have you seen the whole, this all originated from photography, right? Because the whole unaesthetic image started with like big artists like Billie Eilish and people like that who would post photos, but like they're a bit blurry, or it's just them doing a Macca's run and it's this dirty fucking shot. Like it's all the shots you wouldn't post.
Yeah. And it's all the whole like Gen Z Instagram photo dump thing where it's just like,
we'll
post a carousel once a month and it's just like seven photos from the month and they're all fucking dog shit.
I love it though.
They're
it's like
photos.
I love it. Yeah, I reckon it's great. I think it'll stay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see how that trickles through into people's style. If people's, you know, someone like Jackson Grant is embracing that unaesthetic. It's interesting. It's really
He's definitely leaning into like being like the really Aussie side of things. Like if you go on his website, he's had a huge rebrand, and it's, if you've met him, it's so him. Like the website just looks like him.
Yeah.
Like the colors he's chosen is like often what he wears, and he's the copy is amazing. The copy is so, so Aussie. It's hilarious. Like you just piss yourself laughing going through his website. It's so interactive. I feel like he's hit the nail on the head with the website as far as that goes. And his films and his photos are really similar. And he does, he'll do like animation in his films. So you know, someone might be giving a toast and raising a glass, and then all of a sudden there's animation around the glass. So there's all this interactive animation, like line work and art that comes into his films that no one else is really doing. So he's got that. No, not in weddings. I think he's always doing something really interesting and new. Yeah. So
experimental.
And he's just unapologetically himself as well.
It's so good to see.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah. And like when everyone's feeds are that kind of like muted tones and that kind of like everything's and he's just like, nah, fuck, we're pushing the saturation slider all the way to the fucking right and we're going for it.
I love it.
I love to see it. Studio Ninja is the world's highest rated studio management software. It contains a huge suite of tools from calendar integration and double booking warnings to contract templates and automated client workflows. If you want more time to focus on the creative parts of being a wedding filmmaker and less time on admin, then why not take 50% off when you sign up with the promo code MBWF50 and get your first year of Studio Ninja for as little as $125 US. On the complete opposite end of the spectrum to him is this person, this guy from Russia that someone sent me their showreel like last year. This guy, I'm going to say his name wrong, Artem Kortchagin, I think, is probably the closest I can get to pronouncing this guy's name. Oh my God. I don't know where this guy had been hiding on my feed, but his cinematography is next level. And like a really beautiful mix of like the banger stuff mixed with the kinds of aesthetics that are really popular in photography now, like with the slow shutter stuff, like shutter drags, lots of black and white, lots of really dynamic lighting. Just like, I mean, I think I'll like everyone we're talking about, I'll link below in the show notes so people can start diving
drop
and stuff.
Their
but, but he's someone who it just takes the kind of, you know, I look at a show like Euphoria and I go, I would love to like create images like that. And then I see someone like his work and I'm like, oh, he's actually getting pretty fucking close.
So, yeah, that's a big compliment
kind,
as well.
Yeah, the kind of visuals that you watch an amazing show like Euphoria or whatever and you go, I would love to, you know, like make an image like that, but it never really, you know, ends up looking.
It takes a set of people to achieve.
But
what do you mean one wedding filmmaker on their own can't do the same thing?
He hasn't even seen Euphoria. Yeah. Andrew hasn't seen Euphoria. Okay. I'm like, have to watch it. It is actually so beautiful.
Shameful. I mean, I would have, but some trader watched it without me. So
I was not going to wait for you.
All right. I'm shocked from that.
Ben's like, Andrew, why do I have couples on this show? Shit.
Just to bring the energy, but no, like his work is one I just was like, it's one of those things where it's that kind of like jealous inspiration, you know? You're like, I want to step my game up just because I'm like, I want that footage, like, you know?
So,
don't go there, man.
That stuff gives me such an inferiority complex.
Don't go to the dark place.
Yeah. I know. I know that's some toxic shit, but I can't help it. I'll still feel it anyway. Yeah. But no, but seriously, like, great. Why don't you guys jump in with some people that you've been looking at?
Yeah, I have one I really want to talk about. Multiply Media. So I think it's Boomer and Sarah.
Yeah.
I haven't actually chatted with them yet, so I'll have to hit them up after this. But they're doing some really cool stuff with like audio and post audio. I feel like they're definitely ahead of the curve there. And they release reels like educating a little bit on post audio and how you can differentiate yourself and build different scenarios with audio. And I've been frothing it. Big one they did one recently where it was a groom who had serenaded his wife and he had done like an acoustic guitar and sang to her in this field or something. And so they've taken his audio and they've actually produced it into a full track, like mixed it down into a track themselves. So they've added like piano and it's actually a really beautiful song. So it starts off with him playing the guitar as is and then all this, you know, these other instruments come in and it's the music for the film. And that blew me away. I'm like, that is above and beyond anything that anyone's doing in weddings. So hats off to them.
when I interviewed them on the show, just like it was like mind blow after mind blow after mind blow. Just like just kept throwing stuff out there, real casually too.
Yeah, and
I would just be like, I was just
that's
like,
no big deal.
What?
I love the bit in that episode where Boomer had the keyboard out and he was
little
playing
piano.
Like, Here Comes the Bride keys. Yeah. And yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, they're awesome.
That was a fuck off moment. I'm never gonna understand something. Like, I'm never gonna understand audio and music in the same way.
Yeah, but it's inspiring because I love audio. I'm not at that level. Like, I can't mix down a song myself, but that makes me want to, and it gets me thinking about how I can approach it differently. Mm. Like, that could be something I go learn. I'd love to know how to do that and be able to do that for our couples. Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
And that's the thing is you can be inspired by people and you can attempt to, like, reach, you know, like be inspired to up your game in a certain level, but you're never going to like reach the level that they are in that certain area. And that's where it's all well and good to be inspired by people in our, like, in your circle, in your industry.
Mm.
But if you're only taking inspiration from that, you're always going to be a watered down version of the thing you're inspired by.
Mm,
and so it's like, it's cool to be inspired by people in our industry, but you also need to go beyond in order to actually get any kind of growth or uniqueness or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's always something to keep in mind.
That's like the good thing and the bad thing about, you know, education and social media is like the comparison and inspiration. Like, you can come across these things and go, that's amazing, I want to try to do something like that. Or you can come across those things and go, oh my God, I suck. This is terrible. I should just quit. And if
that's just self doubt.
If it's the latter, but a lot of people experience the latter. So it's important just to be kind to ourselves because we're all at different levels with different, there's so many different elements to the craft. Like, it's crazy. We're never going to get it all right 100% of the time. Mm. And it's okay not to be a master.
It is okay. It is okay.
But it's so fun to be a master. Aspire to greatness. Don't settle.
I love it. Don't settle. Nah, fuck it. Don't settle.
How about it? Give it a crack.
God.
Give it a crack. There was a couple more people I wanted to quickly mention, especially. So I wanted to mention Unique Wedding again, someone we've already had on the show before, but the element of what they do around going beyond the wedding day, I feel like is something that's going to be happening more and more and more with the fact that weddings themselves are changing and trickling down into wedding films changing. I feel like going beyond purely documenting an event, like filming a wedding ceremony and whatever it is around that on that day, these guys are at the fucking vanguard of that, of around like the wedding is a thing. The wedding is like the reason we're here, but we're going way, way beyond that. We're doing other shit. We're creating like full on romantic films about these people and the little portraits of these couples and stuff. Their stuff is next level and looks like a fucking indie coming of age film. Some of the visuals that they've obviously like come up with in their head and then managed to, like, you know, put into practice is out of this world.
Yeah. And I think we were talking about trends before. I think that might become a bit more of a trend in 2023 is actually doing pre-production for shoots and really being thoughtful and intentional about sort of treating some wedding shoots more like a short film shoot and setting up lighting, directing talent where it's where we can, you know, get the opportunity and the couples that are up for that. That's something I'm really excited to see more of.
Yeah, I'm stoked that, like, people are really obsessed with that right now. Like, the other, we get questions about two things. It's always color grading something or other, or it's always pre-shoots. How much pre-production do you do? Did you shut that outside the wedding day? Why? How? Tell me more. It's always, people are so interested in that, and I'm stoked because I feel like it's bringing the level of, like, quality of films up. And I really want wedding films to be taken way more seriously in the film industry as a whole because it's fucking crazy. People are doing amazing stuff and I'm like, guys, there's some talented people here. Like, I feel like it's giving it more oomph. Like people are going to start to notice wedding videography more outside of the industry because it is coming up.
Yeah, and I think that's already the case. Like there's a few DP friends of mine and producer friends of mine that don't work in the wedding industry, they work in the film industry, and they're like, oh, we could never do what you guys do. Like there's too much. Like we're used to specialising in one little thing like focus pulling or swinging a boom or, you know, how do you do all of this at once? It's ridiculous.
Which is why I think often the feeling of burnout creeps in is because you do feel like you have to do everything perfectly.
Oh, does that. We do like 50 jobs in one. It's insane. Yep. Even, I mean, in most industries, you're not editing, color grading, post sound. That's all separate jobs. Like you got a colorist, you got to, you know, it's mental.
I think it is interesting to see as the industry matures and people, like the sort of collective understanding of the basics just rises and rises and rises. All these extra things just like, you know, all the fringes start to go out further and further. You know, people like Jackson Grant and then, you know, Unique Wedding doing like all these crazy pre-wedding shoots and like, you know, like wedding for like, you know, cinematic wedding films from the days of when people first started picking up DSLRs and stuff back in whatever the fuck that was, 2007 or something.
100 busy.
Yeah, basically. I feel like the collective understanding of the industry around like how to film a ceremony, how to make a wedding film, how to do a highlight film is like, we, you know, the industry as a whole has kind of like wrapped its head around that pretty solidly. Yeah, yeah. And so all the creativity is starting to just like go, like explore out further and further and further.
Yeah.
Which is really, really, really interesting to see. Yeah, speaking of trends, I'm just going to keep it moving on because time's ticking. We're going to move it on. Trends from last year that we're happy with. What do we like in wedding films that we want to keep seeing more and more of? And we'll do the trends that we don't want to see more of after this.
I don't know if it counts as a trend, but I think the diversity of styles of wedding filmmaking is great. And the trend, like, I think too often in Facebook forums, there's like, oh, if it's not my style of film, it sucks. But I think this, the industry is starting to mature a lot and go, hey, that's not the style of film that I make, but I really admire that that is a really great example of that style of film. I think the trends that I would like to see from last year and want to continue is more diversity in and imagination in the types of wedding films that people are producing and more a greater acceptance of that. Like I don't think we need to be insecure because we can't do a certain style of film or our mates over there are doing something that that doesn't necessarily play to our strengths. I think we should celebrate that. I don't know if that counts as a trend though.
Well, I think it's following the trend of weddings in general. Like we were talking about again at the beginning of the show, it's like weddings used to be like for the majority our format, in the same way that wedding films were our format. You know, I feel like we went through a phase of like wedding films are 5 to 7 minutes long. That's what they are, you know? And it's only now that we're going like, well, what if they're 20 minutes? And then what if they're like, you know, like 2 minutes and 20 minutes and an hour? And what if there's also a 4 minute film that's just about the twin sisters? And I think there's the potential to start seeing like somewhat clear like subgenres in wedding films, just to give us language also to communicate to couples around like, what is a wedding film? Who are you not, you know? Like, because I feel like with photography, there's less of a need to have that kind of language because it's like, you know, you could have like a collection of photos, whereas a film can be so many different types of things and do different jobs that I feel like the industry may be developing some language around the different types of films that we can offer, I think would be interesting to see.
Yeah, even like simple things like that's not particularly groundbreaking, like engagement films. We discovered late last year a guy, he's actually one of the speakers at Lonely Hearts. His name is Dave LePage. He calls himself a rapidly aging emo, but his specialty is engagement shoots for video.
And they're dope.
And they are insane. Like we just binged his stuff for days. We're like, holy crap.
Yeah. I don't know how I didn't know about him for so long. He just popped up one day. I was like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, but when I sat down to think about it, I thought, why doesn't the video industry do engagement shoots?
Like, yeah.
I think it's crazy to me it hasn't really happened.
And all around that, like, beyond the wedding day thing, like,
pre-wedding shoot, post-wedding shoot,
and also not just like showing up to the engagement shoot that the photographer planned and just like getting some footage off to the side. Like, I think more and more videographers are like planning their own things, figuring out what they need from video, how it's different to photo. Like,
I think in terms of the back end of it, when it comes to editing, like, I think as well, like, just going off what you said, like, people starting to do stuff outside of the weddings. It's not just a film about a wedding day. It's like a film about their life, their entire lives, like everything they've done up until that point.
Yeah.
Like, that's what wedding films are becoming. And that's, I think, off the back of COVID, people have started like diving deeper into story and like, not just like, oh, we had a great wedding day. It's more about like, what got us here? Like, what have we gone through to get here? That's the reality of a couple, right? Like, you go through a lot of shit to get there. There's ups and downs. And I like that people now are starting to, when they get to the edit, go, what footage can we source? What stock footage do we have of this couple? Can we go to the Instagram and grab some, you know, is there a video of them getting engaged, like of the proposal? Is there, you know, we did a couple who got married on the agroforestry farm, and they talked a lot about the farm and what that meant to them. So we went through their Instagram, we ripped footage of them like during the floods, they're in flood water up to here, because they did talk about that, and we incorporated that. And, you know, just, I love that people starting to get content, like videos of when they were kids, things that really add value to character. That's, I love that that's becoming a little bit standard now. It's great. Becoming more of a short film, you know?
I think we're going to see more and more of that this year and beyond, like going beyond the wedding day itself. However that like translates to the particular couple, if it's lots of home movie footage as a kid, if it's, you know, it's things around like a farm, or if it's just a purely stylized shoot out of the brain of the wedding filmmaker, all of the stuff around wedding films going beyond being a documentation of an event. Moving away from event videography and just exploring different styles, I think, is what we're going to see, or certainly what I hope to see more and more of this year. As we start to wrap things up, team, I think it's always quite fun to have a little whinge and we can talk about some trends that we hope won't continue into 2023. I think they probably will, but what are there anything that you guys see, especially online and social and stuff, that you feel like can just like stay back in 2022? Thank you very much.
Get in the bin.
Oh, fuck, I don't know. You got anything?
I just can't relate to the crying grooms. That's just me. I have no soul. Oh, there, I said it. It's true. For me, that's just so one-dimensional.
I'm the same. I mean, I wrote that down in the notes. I wrote that down in the notes, and because it's something that I'm just like,
you didn't work.
Fuck, man, it's played out. The love stories TV style. Like, I've seen enough grooms crying at a first look. Okay, like we need to get over the fact that guys cry. And that needs to be sensationalized.
Yeah, people trying to, it's not that men are crying. That's great. We love that. It's not, it's just more that people are like, oh my God, look, a man crying. And I'm like, that's not weird. It's normal. Like, let's stop using that as a launch pad for clickbait and stuff. Like, it's, you know, it's part of, it's part of life. I like that it had its moment in the sun. Like, you know, it's really healthy for men to see, but it's also,
it's getting a bit played out now.
It's become a bit of a attention grabbing thing, which is, I don't think the point of it. It just takes the soul out of the moment when it becomes clickbait.
I think that's the thing, is that like, if we're seeing that, like, it'll probably hang around for a bit longer, but I think it will die a death. I think people, even the mainstream, will get bored of seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, reels have become so toxic in that regard. Like, people are just jumping on trends because they want the views and stuff like that. So fuck, I hope that goes. I like reels. that the pressure people feel to post them.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
bad.
Posting shit stuff, like all that fucking mining stuff. I hope that goes.
Yeah, I think that's for me a trend that needs to die. It's just the pressure that we put on ourselves to post stuff.
Yeah. What I think videographers can learn from that, and I think the lesson that we can take away from the generic love stories TV reel that people feel they need to make, like filmmakers feel like I need to post a reel of an emotional first look in order to get loads of views. I think what people should take away from that is like people want emotion. And you can do that in a creative way without just mimicking the you know, like love stories TV formula of that style of reel again and again and again and again and again. It's like that format is played out and it's done, but take the thing that people latched on to in the first place, which is seeing emotion, and know that that was clearly a need and probably a reaction to like just loads of like vapid blockbuster highlight films that didn't have any emotion. You know, it was just like lots of music and lots of visuals and no soul behind it. Yeah, that was their reaction to it. And it's just like, cool, that happened. We're bored of it. We can move on, but let's learn from it. And just keep
injecting
it.
You hate it, don't you? You've been wanting to get this one out for a while.
I've seen my feed has been too full of it.
I do get why people are doing it. And for the context of Love Stories TV, that is their audience. So I think for me, the takeaway is like post about what clients you want to attract, who are the couples you want to book, like what are you passionate about making? If it is really emotive films, then, yeah, that might be the content for you as long as you're doing it for the right reasons. So, you know, it's all relative to what your brand is, what your business is doing.
Yeah, that's fine. That's,
anything else, people?
That's my little, come on. That's my little rant.
You got any other things?
Look,
You've got a few.
Well,
I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I just want to see more diversity. And I feel like the wedding film industry has got a really safe little format now. And so I feel like that will always stick around, but just want to just see more and more people trying new shit. It's like we've all kind of got our safe format now for making our films. We can try and make some new shit.
Asking what else is possible.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm one to talk. Like, you know, at the end of the day, formats and formulas have their place in terms of keeping our work-life balance and keeping our backlogs in check. And, you know, like we can't expect to like reinvent the wheel every single wedding film. So that like, and I feel like I need to throw that out there as part of that conversation. We've all got to find our balance, but I think, yeah.
It comes and goes. It comes and goes in ways. Sometimes you're like, I just need to get by and smash a few out. Sometimes you have like a whole year where you're fucking inspired and every film is like something you challenge yourself with. I think it's just the same as anything. It just comes and goes. So, you know, here's what it is.
I'd love to know actually just on that, on balance, how many people take 2 days off a week in this industry?
I would be very surprised
to know that.
Me.
I certainly don't, and I feel guilty. I 100% feel guilty if I take any kind of time for myself during the week when I've been filming all weekend.
That's such a dude thing.
That's such a wedding industry thing.
It's a dude thing.
It's a dude thing.
We all get sucked into the comparison and the competition, and we just think we have to out-hustle each other, and I think that's a trend that I would like to see go into the bin.
I'd love to see the out-hustle each other trend die.
Yeah.
People being so obsessed with being on top and outdoing everyone else just to feel some sense of like control and happiness, and like that should not bring you bulk happiness. You find something else. Like it's a lot. People try, and there's all this like stacking in the industry now, people trying to climb on top, and sometimes it's really a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just want to get back to basics and just make something you're proud of. Like don't compare it to someone else. Make something that you is better than what you've done before, not what's better than someone else has done. Like manage your success. Scale it against yourself where you were at a year ago.
Yep.
Don't scale it against the rest of the industry. It's going to result in toxic shit.
Mm. 100%. Actually, I heard something from Rick Rubin the other day, like one of the most prolific music producers of our generation. He was speaking to the idea of creativity and about basically you should make work for yourself. Like if you're a creative making thing, being paid to make a creative product for somebody else, you still have to make it for yourself. I mean, because it will be made like in service of the audience as part of that. But if you chase like making something for other people to impress other people to, you know, to make something that you think people want, it will always fall short. You need to like make sure you're stoked.
So accurate. That's very accurate.
If you're stoked, other people will be stoked.
Yeah.
So you just got to make shit that you're stoked on.
Yeah. And people don't know what the magic sauce is. And it's like in layman's terms, just don't give a fuck about anything else. Do what you enjoy and love. And then it'll have that ripple effect.
Yeah.
I love that. I need to look up.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that a talk he did or something?
So that was on the Rich Roll. Rick Roll podcast. He was interviewing Rick Rubin. That was a really good interview. People should check that out too.
Ben's encouraging people to leave his podcast and listen to other
basically,
podcasts.
Yes, leave my podcast right now. I mean, look, we're basically about ready to wrap up anyway. There was a couple of other things on the list, but I mean, I actually want to kind of leave those for another day. I don't want to dilute some of the stuff. We've got stuff here on like AI and stuff, but I feel like maybe we do a whole episode on AI. I want to do a bit more research on that. But anyway, no, it was nice to, I think, just kind of, I think, start the year off. Just looking from a bit of a broader picture, because I think we can all kind of get stuck in our little world, in our little feeds, in our little bubbles. And just stop and go, okay, what have we kind of learnt from weddings, from wedding filmmakers, from media in general, from photography, from other trends, what's happening? And just so we can just kind of move forward just with some intentionality, right, around like what we want to be doing, what balance do we want, what things do we want to be working on, what things do we need to work on, where do we want to grow, do we need to grow, who gives a shit? I think it's good to just kind of check in before we, you know, go heads down, bum up, and just kind of smash the year out. Always good.
It's going to be a big year. I feel like everyone's ramped up for 2023. We're all happy to see the back end of 22. It's going to be an interesting year. I'm pumped. Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens in this industry. It's going to be cool shit going on.
Yeah. It still feels like the Wild West. It's still such a young industry and there's so many crazy things going on.
Yeah.
And everyone's got such big ideas on how things should be or shouldn't be. And it's just, I don't know, everyone should just be kind to each other and look after themselves because it's hard work what we do.
Aww. Yeah.
That's nice. Community. Speaking of community, I want to circle back to finish us off on Lonely Hearts.
Yes.
Film camp, because fucking cool what you guys do with that.
Thank you.
Coming up very soon, very, very soon in February.
Yes.
Look, tell us a little bit about the camp. You mentioned a couple of the speakers. Do you want to give us a rundown on who's there? How many tickets are left? If people want to jump on board, give us all the info on film camp.
Yeah. Dead set. All right, so it's Feb 19 to 23. So it's coming up very soon. It's a few weeks away. We have 15 tickets left.
Yeah, it's super exciting for us. We ran the first one. So for those that don't know what Lonely Hearts Film Camp is, it's 4 days and four nights. It's a workshop. It's unlike anything else that's out there. It happens in Sydney, Sydney, Australia.
Excellent.
New Sydney, Australia, and it'll be nearly exactly 3 years since we ran the first one. So that first one was just mind-blowing in terms of the impact it had on people that attended and on us as well. We've always sort of said we wanted to leave the wedding film industry in a better place than when we started, when it comes our time to sort of finish up doing what we do. And that's sort of why we do Lonely Hearts Film Camp. And we basically design a workshop that we would want to attend ourselves. So every single one of the speakers and subject matters is just things that we still want to learn about and improve on. it's crazy. We've got, what do we got this year? We've got yoga every morning. We've got a, Grace loves organizing the wrap party.
We've got a Tarantino theme.
Tarantino wrap party. Yeah, I saw that pop up. That looks wicked.
Yeah, I'm actually so pumped on that. Yeah, we've got a few little fun things. We've got a great lineup. We've got some really amazing filmmakers. We've got Riccardo Fasoli from Creative Wedding.
Mm. Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't had him on the podcast yet, Ben.
I know.
I need to.
Riccardo Fasoli, for people that don't know, you got to check his work out. He goes by Creative Wedding. He is the godfather of wedding cinema.
Yeah, he is. But we've also got Dear Vincent, Aussie lads.
Sydney-based crew. Yeah, they run a business like a business, which is quite interesting.
It is.
Always good, to see.
They've got producers. They work across Sydney and Bali. They're based in both. They've got a whole squad of people and employees and all sorts of stuff. So their talk's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
We've got White and Reverie coming out.
White and Reverie.
Heavy hitters.
Costa Sisters.
Costa Sisters coming Stable from the
Page,
UK.
Tim Whiting. Jump on the Instagram and stalk away. It's a lot of information, a lot of great speakers. We'll be there.
Of course. Oh, you know, just a little sighting. Just a little.
Just drink Fireball and talk shit with you.
We've got some past speakers coming back too. We've got the boys from Humdrum. We've got Nat from Auburn Hour. We're getting the band back together. We've got a bunch of people that attended last time that are coming back as well.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
Oh, we're devastated that you can't be there.
We tried to get Ben to speak.
I know. Look, 2024, I'm there, okay? I'm there.
You'll be 2024. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
People just got a little
Who books midweek weddings these days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, amazing. And you said before, 15 tickets left. So
15 tickets
we'll have the
left,
info below if people want to grab the last few tickets, get on it.
Yeah.
The website is lonelyheartsfilmcamp.co.
We'll have a link for that below. Feb 19th to 23rd, you said.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
Soon. Cool. So snap up a last chickish and we will hopefully see everyone listening there.
Yeah. Perfect. Alrighty, team. Well, we'll have all the info for that below, along with links to everyone we've been chatting about and all the other stuff we've been talking about. Other than that, that's going to do us, team.
Woo!
Nice to have you guys back. Happy New Year.
See you again.
Here we go.
Happy days. Let's get it.
Alrighty. That's going to do us for this one, guys. We'll see you all next time. Bye.